And so we were going to read on Wednesday, we're going to read the employers, but since we had a lot of people here, I did the first step and the big book with the first step, and they said it was good, and I taped it. Carl said it was good, and I believe Carl. And so I'm going to have new people that I meet listen to that once I get it on the site, because I went through, Kyle said he got a lot out of it. So that'll be good. It's a good way to introduce. I used the book and explained a little bit about it and what the book tells me about my first step. And so today we're going to get into We Agnostics. I covered the first two paragraphs last Saturday. I was at Charlotte with the little ones. That was fun. And now we're getting into the talking about the God book. The first two paragraphs are talking about our alcoholism and that we only have two doors. And which door are we going to choose, right? Are we going to have an alcoholic death, or are we going to choose to live on a spiritual basis? And they hammer that home in the third paragraph. It says, I have to face the fact. So what they're telling you is, if you're an alcoholic, you come here, at some point you're going to have to face this fact. Now what you do with it is up to you, that you must live on a spiritual basis of life, dash, or else. Notice they say must find a spiritual basis of life, dash, or else. So that's the choice that people make here. And I see a lot of them come in, and when they finally face this fact, they choose or else. They just don't seem to want to go through this. And I don't know if they actually realize that they're doing that. But so how do you find the spiritual basis of life? Well, that's what the rest of the book is about. The book up to this point has discussed what's wrong with us, our alcoholism, our unmanageability of our life, our first step. And now they're saying, okay, if that's true for you and you have that, you better find a spiritual basis of life or else, because there's no other way. And the thing I was going to talk about tonight is really how I establish my relationship with God and how I continue to do it. And I'm doing better than I used to be. Not perfect, but it's changed my life, and I could see a few others nodding in the room. I think the thing about this meeting and the people who come here is that we all really want to live in the solution. We want to find our Creator, and we want to improve our conscious contact of it. Now, they give us a line here that I think is, it may be incorrect, but don't call New York. It says, if a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. Anybody think that's a good statement? Sounds good. It's true for me, because it was my code of morals and my philosophy of life. I didn't have one that would work, because it was mine. But I believe AA allows us to live with a code of morals, and it has a better philosophy of life in AA. It's a God-centered life, right? And our code of morals is we live in love and tolerance. But it wasn't mine. And so my philosophy of life, my code of morals, and I think we talked about that yesterday. I think Stephanie actually mentioned that yesterday. We tried our morals, we tried our way, but we just didn't have the power. So it says, such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. Did anybody try to do better? Yeah. We tried to do better. And I could wish to be moral, which means virtuous, or, you know, respectable, or good qualities. I could wish to be philosophically comforted. I looked up philosophically comforted, and it means ethically or humanely comforted. In fact, I could will these things with all my might, but the needed power wasn't there. Did anybody wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to do better? Yeah. I'm not going to get pissed off at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be loving to everybody and perfect. And that went to crap pretty soon, usually. And it didn't have the power. And so a lot of people can't forgive themselves, right? They're very upset with their behavior when they come in here. But I didn't have the power to do differently. I mean, I did a lot of bad things. I made my life unmanageable, but it was because I didn't have a power. So they're going to say, and I wrote, my human resources is marshaled by my will, Marshaled means organized. Like you have the soldiers will marshal, they line up. So I marshaled my will. It was not sufficient. It failed utterly. So what they're telling us again, they said it over and over in these four pages, is four paragraphs, we can't do it, right? And so the book is so well written because what's the next line? Lack of power. That's my dilemma. Now, dilemma is two choices, and it says usually equally undesirable. You know, the dilemma was I couldn't live differently, and I didn't know how to find a spiritual life. Anybody else have that problem? So lack of power is my problem, my dilemma. My dilemma is I don't have it. I don't know how to find it even. So up to this point, the book is really, really clear. And look what they say in the next few lines. I had to find a power by which I could live. I couldn't live by my power. I need to find a power by which I could live. They're not talking about drinking, right? How I can live. And it had to be a power greater than myself. Now here's a line that I missed in the big book till Stu pointed out. Well, it's the shortest sentence, but maybe the most powerful, obviously. I think the reason people can't make it is they don't see the obvious thing, that they don't have a power to live, and it better be a power greater than them. And it should be obvious. And it was obvious to me this morning because the first thing I did was, besides think about myself, of course, is stop and pray and ask God for direction. And notice power greater than ourselves is in italic. And it means obviously. Now here's a key line in the book that I didn't realize. I read it a million times. They say, where and how am I to find the power? It's a question mark, right? So if it's obvious that I need a power to live and I need to live on a spiritual basis of life, where is that power and how do I find it? Well, then I realized that the rest of this chapter is about where the power is, and the how it works and in action is how I find this power to live. It says, well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. So that's why I study the book. That's why I study this book. It's a textbook on how I find a power greater than myself. And notice it doesn't say anything about drinking, does it? It solves my problem. And what is my problem? My problem is that I'm living separated from a power greater than myself, and I'm living on a power of myself. Was that a problem for anybody in the room? Living on self-power. And so the problem is, if I live on a different basis, then things will get better. It says, that means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. Moral means virtuous, ethically correct. And it means, of course, that we're going to talk about God. Wow. It's in the big book. And from here on in, this is the God book now. We don't talk about alcohol anymore. Alcohol was a solution. Now we're going to talk about God, which is the solution. Alcohol was a solution. It didn't work for me. And so a lot of people don't like the God. I hear that a lot. And one of the things you might do is have them read these four or five paragraphs with you and see if this applies to them. And then the rest of this chapter is going to tell you to change your mind about God. Even if you have a concept of God when you come in here, they're telling you maybe you want to think about it differently. And they're going to tell us where God is and so much spiritual information. I still like that talk by Father Bill W. and the Jesuit priest who studied in the Vatican, had a PhD in theology, studied with John Paul II. And he ends his talk, he says, you know, I studied for years, I looked for God everywhere, but I found him in this chapter. And it's hard to believe, I don't know how they actually wrote this chapter, which information they used, but it's powerful stuff. So it says, they're going to talk about God here. Difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened the subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. I hadn't seen that before. So people come in here want to neatly evade or entirely ignore the idea of God. And I wrote, We don't want to be accountable. We don't want to, we at least for myself, and a lot of us had a judgmental idea about God when we came in here. And we didn't want him to know where we, I didn't want him to know where I was. We know how he feels. We have shared his honest doubt and prejudice. Some of us have been violently anti-religious. Now, you can be violently anti-religious, but that really doesn't have anything to do with God, right? You may not like organized religion, but that shouldn't block you from the power greater than yourself. To others, the word God brought up a particular idea of him with which someone had tried to impress them during childhood. A lot of people, myself included, had a concept of God that was not really appealing. My God was always behind some curtain that you had to pull the curtain. The only people who could pull the curtain were the ones who gave the most money to the synagogue, and the other people were just down in the thing, and it was a God of judgment. Now, that may not have been true, but that's the way I saw it. Somebody else could be sitting. Sandy Beach says when he grew up, he went to Catholic Church, and he and his sister went. She was a year younger. They went all the time. And he said, she just loves the service. She loved it. He says, when I went, all I could think about was, wow, he crucified his son. What's he going to do to me? And so, you see, there's always two ways of looking at it. So anyway, with that rejection, we imagine we had abandoned the God idea entirely, but I don't think any of us really abandon it completely. We just don't want to think about it. Then here it is. We were bothered with the thought that faith and dependence upon a power beyond ourselves was somewhat weak. Now, I had heard somebody a few months ago, this lady said that she didn't want to do a four-step because she didn't want to appear weak. And I didn't understand that, but I guess it's subconsciously we don't want to feel like we can't do it. And I wrote, we're omnipotent. Alcoholics, we think we're omnipotent, we're in charge of everything. And that's an old idea that was killing me. It says we have to stop playing God, right? And so I didn't realize. So they were actually people, and myself, I had faith and dependence upon a power, which was myself. And that didn't work. And then here they talk in this next paragraph how you look at the world and how could it possibly have a God when you look at all the stuff that's going on. And I think it's the way you look at things. And but then they say there's the feeling of awe and wonder when you look at the starlit night and you think of the stars and everything. And the next two paragraphs have, probably the next three paragraphs are really well written. A lot of information. It says, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. Now remember, agnostic as it's defined here is those without knowledge of God. And they talk about how you never allowed God to work in your life, so you didn't know that there was a God you could rely and depend on. And I lived like there wasn't a God. Anybody else do that? I could have prayed, but then I lived the rest of my day running the show. It says, we found that as soon as we're able to lay aside prejudice, now they use this word a lot in this chapter, prejudice means prejudgment. Anybody have prejudgments about things? They're called old ideas. It says, unless we let go of them, absolutely, the result's nil. And so each day I find new old ideas that I need to let go of. So I don't want to judge anything. And express even a willingness to believe in a power. I'm just willing. That's all they're asking here, is to be willing to believe that there's a power greater than ourselves. We commence to get results. Because I think it's, you're changing, you're making a major change in direction just to see that the direction I'm going in running the show wasn't working. And I may need to change directions. And I may need to believe that there's a better way than mine. And it says, even though any of us to fully define or comprehend that power which is God, which I think is true. It's hard to, I don't know that I comprehend. We talk about religious things and Jesus Christ and things like that, but what is actually God and the power and how it all looks like, I don't know that any of us know, but we have a relationship with God based on scriptures and a lot of the things that they tell us about the qualities of God. And so, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. And remember, that was the key with Bill W. and Abby Thatcher, because Bill was sitting there in the kitchen dying of alcoholism, arguing with Abby about whether there was a God or not. Then he realized how crazy that was. And Abby said, well, why don't you choose your own concept of God? Now, you can't argue with your own concept of anything, right? And I think this chapter is saying if your concept of God didn't work before, change it. Change it to your concept, not someone else's. And so I think that's a major advance of AA. It's a major spiritual book. It opens God to anybody. And it's your conception. And I think everybody in the end, no matter who you believe in, has your own conception of whatever it is you believe, because it could be different for each person. Has to be. And so our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with them. One thing that if I'd done 17 years ago, written what I thought God was, it would be a lot different than how I see God today. And I think that's the value of the program. It changes my conception of God. And it's still changing. And it's always more comforting, the new conception I have. It always is more powerful. And it says, as soon as we admit it, so all you have to do is admit the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. Now, it seems silly when you're reading this that it would be so obvious to people, but people have been around a while. How many people have you worked with who just don't want to hear about God? And they're saying, here, change your mind. And it says, just admitting the possible existence of something, we began to be possessed with a new sense of power and direction. I still think I tell the story badly. But it's about the battleship that's going at night, and it's got a course, and the battleship is going, and in front of it is, they see a light. And they send the signal, you better move, because I'm the battleship, I'm the alcoholic, and this is where I'm going. You better get out of my way. And so the light signals back, it says, I'm not moving. So they said, well, don't you know, I'm a battleship. I'm the king of the seas. I'm going to go, and you better get out of the way. So that the light signals back, we're a lighthouse. And think about it. I was a battleship, and I was going. And what they're telling you is here is change your direction, because you're just going to hit the rocks. You better change your direction. And then here's a great line. I hope I remember to read this tonight. I'll probably read the whole big book. Don't be nobody left by the time I'm done. And stop it. We found that God, and I really think this line to me is one of the best things written in the book. I'll open it up soon. We can talk about it. They found, this is what they found, that God does not make too hard terms for those who seek him. There's really no barrier, and I think this is the value of AA, between you and God. If you seek God, there's no barrier. To us, the realm of the spirit, that means the world of the spirit, living with God, is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. I think this was a great gift from AA to the world, that there's no barrier between you and your creator except my mind. And if I seek him, and it says God can and will, if we seek him, he'll be there for me. And the only thing that happened in my life is I turned away from the power. It's always been there. And they're going to talk about that. You see how the chapter flows, because now they're going to talk about where God is and how we turn away from him, but he's always been there. It says, when therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies to the other spiritual expressions which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice, there you know, again, you may have against spiritual terms deter you from, here's what you're supposed to ask yourself. What do they mean to you? What do they mean to you? What do the terms mean to you? Not what somebody else told you they mean. What do they mean to you? And it says, this is all you need to commence spiritual growth. You just need to let go of your old ideas, be open to a willingness to believe in a power, understand that there's no barrier between you and the power. And here's what they talk about. First, conscious relation with God as we understood him. Now, the whole program is about getting conscious contact with God and keeping it right. Contact means that I have that power available to me. And this is all you need to begin it. And so it doesn't seem like a lot, does it? When you really think about where you are in your hopeless situation when you come in here. But for a lot of people, this is a major barrier. It wasn't really much of a barrier to me. I was so defeated, I was willing to take any help from anybody and do whatever they told me. And so I was really open to having a power greater than myself that could help me. Now, here's the second step in the big book. We need to ask ourselves but one short question. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you now believe, or are you willing to believe, that there's a power greater than yourself? Does everybody say yes to that? Anybody want to say yes? I say yes. Everybody want to say something?
Yes.
Right. As soon as you say you can, that he does believe, or is willing to believe, we assure him he's on his way. You said no? It has been repeated. It's a crowd tonight, I'm telling you. They're on my case. It's been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And we talk about building the arch to freedom. We talk about that. Steps 4 through 9, 1 through 9, you build an arch to freedom. You walk through it. You're in the world of the spirit. You live in 10 and 11 on that side with the world of spirit. So this is the cornerstone of this arch. The foundation of your arch to freedom is your willingness, which comes from complete defeat. And if you're completely defeated and willing to go to any length and willing to change, the cornerstone is just to believe that you can change. That's all they're really saying here. Are you willing to change? Do you believe you can change? And I believe I can change with God. And that's it was a big relief to me. I don't know about anybody else. And it says, that was great news for us, for we had assumed we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. Now here's where, and I think in the big book they mix it up, but in AA, you start with belief. Belief is not faith in AA. Faith is the result of action. Faith is the result of being willing to believe, believing you can change, deciding to change, and taking the action of the steps. If you take the actions of the steps, then you believe, you have faith. And I know that there's a power available to me because I've used them. Carl talked about it. And so then you have knowledge of God. You know God's there. Now, whether you continue to use God all the time or not is why we have steps 10 and 11. But I know that there's a power greater than me, and I don't have to worry. But in the beginning, you don't have to, a lot of people want to analyze everything. Just be willing to believe. And then God will disclose himself to you. That's the steps. We don't have to worry about that. If I do the steps, I'll have an experience and I'll tell you what it's like. AA says, if you don't have a plan that works, are you willing to change? Do you believe that God can help you? They say, then follow through on the rest of the steps and tell us what happens. And then you'll tell us what it means. And if you don't believe that, then do what you were doing. And so then it says, this was great news for us. And when people presented us with spiritual approaches, how frequently did we say, I wish I had what that man has. I'm sure it would work if I could only believe as he believes. But I cannot accept as true the many articles of faith which are so plain to him. Well, all they're saying is, just begin at a simple level. Just begin with belief. And let's see, I'm going to read one more paragraph. Besides the seeming inability to accept much on faith, and I don't know about you, did you find yourself handicapped by obstinacy? Any obstinate people in here? Any sensitive people? Now, I know nobody had this unreasoning prejudice. Not only are you prejudiced, but it's unreasonable. And you know what? A lot of I'd were. I didn't even realize it till you come in here. And anybody else obstinate? I think obstinate is the definition of an alcoholic, right? We're all obstinate, and we're very sensitive. We're very sensitive people. And in fact, we're so sensitive that we know what people are thinking, and it bothers us. I can tell they don't like me. I can see the way, I can see in the room, people don't like what I'm doing today. I can tell. I'm probably right. Many of us have been so, stop it. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual to reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. Now look at it. They don't mince words here. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. I have to give up all this. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. So I have to be willing to believe, cast aside some of your old ideas. Now look at this. Faced with alcoholic destruction. Anybody have that when they come in here? That was me. There's no other way to say where I was when I came in here. I was just destroyed. We soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be to other questions. In this respect, alcohol was the great persuader. Wow. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. It could take a long time. We could be beaten for a long time, right? We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. And so, I don't know, I just love that. Faced with alcohol destruction, we became open-minded on spiritual matters. In this respect, alcohol was the great persuader. My sponsor Cliff used to say that somebody would be yakking away, you know, and he'd say, boy, he said, they need to drink more. I mean, it sounds silly, but Linda's nodding. I mean, we can't convince you. We can't make you defeat it. Alcohol, it beats us into a state of reasonableness. And I think that's a gift. When I became reasonable to open my mind to a solution besides me. And they suggest that you don't take a lot of time on this because it's not fun to be destroyed by alcohol. So I think I'll open it up there and we can talk. There's a lot of information in these pages. And next week we're going to talk about Columbus. And Columbus was the first one to complete the steps. Did you know that? Columbus, yeah. He was the first one to work the steps. Because Columbus, I'll say it now. Columbus wanted to go to the East Indies by going west, which was the end of the world. Does it sound like an alcoholic? It says on the map, end of the world. But Columbus said, no, I can do it, right? And he was willing to believe he could do it, right? And so, but he's still in Spain. Actually, he was in Portugal. Then he moved to Spain to get money from the queen. So he said, I believe I can do it. So he went to Spain, and he talked this lady. He was a talker. You know, alcoholics were good talkers. And he talked her into giving him ships and men. So he's still in Spain, right? So he's made a decision to do something, right? Does it sound like an alcoholic? Got all your... But then he has to do something, so he gets in the ships. Remember the three ships? And Columbus was an alcoholic, remember, so he was smart. So he says, I'm not going to go on the first ship because it may be the end of the world. So he had three ships. He was on the last ship. Columbus is smart. We're smart. And he put some dummy in the first ship to look out for the end of the world. So he could turn around. I don't know if that's true, but Joe and Charlie, you tell that story. I like it. So anyway, they get to land. Son of a bitch. They find land. And so they took the action, and he landed somewhere. And then when he went back to Spain, he had faith. So he had knowledge. He started out with willing to believe something nobody else believed. He believed he could do this. He made a decision to do it, but he found the land. The next time he left Spain, he didn't have to put anybody on the front ship. He knew it, and that's what happens to us. We know, but the result of action. So deciding the change won't help me unless I take the action of the steps. So anyway, I like that story. I'll shut up now. Thanks everybody for coming.